right, if you'll turn over to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. And I do appreciate Dwayne having filled in last week. I had to go back home for a funeral, and so I know he did a good job there. We'll pick up in verse 15, chapter 27, verse 15. It says, "Now, at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on his judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I then do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? And they all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Pilate, the governor said, Why, what evil hath he done? But they cried all the more, saying, Let him be crucified. Now, as we saw last week when we were together, according to John's gospel, which we looked at fairly thoroughly the last time we were together, according to John's gospel, Pilate had tried right between verse 14 and verse 15. Matthew doesn't record it, but John's gospel does. He had tried to push this situation he's on, very touchy situation with Jesus. He tried to push it off on Herod. Herod was another governor, the governor of Galilee. He heard that Jesus was a Galilean, and so he thought, hey, maybe I can shuffle this off to him. It's his jurisdiction, and maybe he'll take this off my hands, and I don't have to condemn an innocent man. I don't have to answer to religious Jews that are accusing him, and maybe I can be done with it. Well, Herod did the same thing as Pilate. He found nothing wrong with Jesus. He saw that Jesus was guilty of nothing, and so he sent him right back to Pilate, and now Pilate has the hot potato, so to speak, back in his hands, wondering what to do. So he finds what we're reading here in this text. He finds another possible way to avoid having to put Jesus, an innocent man, to death. He knows that there's no fault in Jesus. That's very clear. But he also knows that if he upsets the Jews who are accusing Jesus, if he doesn't meet their demands, then he is going to create for himself some big problem, because there's very good chance that there could be an uprising, if not a full-blown riot, amongst the crowds of or especially the religious Jews, if he doesn't give them what they wish. Remember, it's the Passover week. Jerusalem is full, is congested with Jewish people that have traveled for the feast of the Passover. They're ready to celebrate. They're all around by the thousands. And if he was to allow this to get out of hand, get the religious Jews up and get their back up and them get everybody around them stirred up, then he could have an uprising that could cause him to have to answer to Caesar for that tumult. And so he doesn't want that. He's in a pickle, and he's not sure what to do. The Jews are demanding that he convict Jesus and sentence him to death, but yet he knows Jesus is innocent, and so he's in a quandary here. So he's got this next tactic that he's going to try, which we're going to read about in this text. So let me explain just a little bit about Barabbas. To be quite honest with you, in all my Bible reading, I have never really clearly understood what was going on here with Barabbas, why they would suggest releasing Barabbas to them. But after good study here, I have a clear understanding. And if you don't already know, maybe I can help you understand as well. In order to relieve tensions between the Jews, who were subject to Rome, okay, they were occupied by Rome, in order to kind of keep things smooth, they're always having to kind of appease the Jews to keep them from rebelling and causing trouble. And so in order to kind of ease tensions, the custom had developed that, that it was essentially Rome throwing a bone to the Jews at each Passover feast, saying that this is the most celebrated week of the year. So this is the biggest week of the year for the Jews. And so the Rome says to them, hey, we will release unto you each year a Jewish prisoner. Somebody that you vote on, so to speak, whoever the populace wants to release to you, will release your care. You can do with him what you want, okay? And it didn't, basically, they were saying, we'll drop the charges on this person and they can walk away and they can have their freedom. And so it could even be a criminal that was sentenced to death. If that's what they called for, if that's what the Jews wanted, that particular criminal, then they would release him, okay? So Pilate sees this as a possible opportunity to get out of this precarious position he's in by asking them if they would rather release Jesus to them or Barabbas, this notorious criminal. It would seem, in Pilate's mind and anybody else's logical mind, it would seem that that's a no-brainer. Release this Jesus. He's not harmful to people. He's not dangerous. He's not the kind of guy that would be a threat to our society. And so that he presents this, okay, you want this Barabbas, this notorious criminal. If you read the book of Luke and John and their passages that parallel this, you'll find that he's a murderer and he's a robber and he is a causer of sedition. This is a bad guy. He's a bad guy. Okay, and keep in mind that Pilate is making this suggestion not just to the religious Jews at this point. At this point, he's speaking to the whole crowd that had gathered, when there would be a lot of people gathered by this time. And it's not just Jesus' accusers that he's addressing here, but he's talking to all the Jews. Who, the one person do you want released to you? Who do you want it to be, okay? And It's really amazing here, because they've got a choice. They could have Barabbas, this true criminal, the bad guy. They could have him be pardoned and released to them, or they could have innocent Jesus, who has not even really had any legitimate charges brought against him. They could essentially have his case thrown out and have him released. And Pilate's thoughts were this. Here's what he's thinking, and it makes good sense. That the multitudes, the common people, they're not as vindictive as the religious Jews. They really don't have a beef with Jesus. And the ones, many of them have just jumped on the bandwagon, okay? So he's thinking that if I make this offer to them, the multitudes, the common people, would logically choose Jesus. They would logically say, Jesus, he's docile, he's non-threatening, he wouldn't be any harm to anybody. That we'll choose him rather than this guy Barabbas, who is a threat. He's dangerous, okay? And if they were to choose Jesus, then Pilate would be off the hook, because the religious Jews that are falsely accusing Jesus would basically say, well, it's not Pilate's fault. The people asked for Jesus. And so if Jesus walked away, they would just be mad at the circumstances, but they couldn't blame Pilate about it, okay? And so this is Pilate's leaving it up to crowd, so to speak, and it seemed like a really decent plan. It makes sense if you're logical, but it didn't work out well. Verse 17 says, okay, first of all, he set it in play. He says, therefore they were gathered together, and Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? So that's the plan, that's the proposition, that's the proposal that he brings before them. And then he makes it clear in verse 18 why he thinks this will work. For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. He knew that the religious Jews were just operating out of spite and envy. They had no legitimate charges against Jesus. He knew all of that. And so he thought that maybe the cooler heads of the crowd, the ones that weren't passionate about harming Jesus, the ones that really were not vindictive, maybe those will prevail and this will work out well. But it didn't, okay? Why? We're going to answer that in just a moment. But first of all, we're going to address verse 19. Here's kind of a side note, a parenthesis given in verse 19. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." And so again, this is a side note. Notice his wife sends this messenger to him, and she refers to him as a just man. She refers to Jesus. She says, "Have nothing to do with this just man." In other words, by calling him a just man, she too knew that Jesus was not guilty. What all she knew about Jesus, we really don't know. The scripture doesn't give it to us. But perhaps she was aware of his works, maybe all the miracles that he'd performed along the way, the healing of the sick, the giving sight to the blind, the lame to walk, Lazarus being raised from the dead. Perhaps she knew about the calming of the storms or the feeding of the multitudes with the bread and fishes. Whatever the case is, maybe she knew about all that. And she's thinking, this guy couldn't possibly be a bad guy. Maybe she knew about his teachings. Maybe she'd heard some of them, and she was aware of how wise he was and how graceful he was in his teachings. He's not a mean-spirited guy. Maybe she knew something about the cleansing of the temple, and she knew, hey, this guy's trying to bring about some changes. Maybe he's trying to clear up some of the corruption around here, and because a lot, that's what the temple cleansing was about, was corruption. And so, who knows? But maybe she didn't know any of those things, and she just was told in the dream that Jesus was innocent. We really don't know, but whatever the case is, she's rattled enough by the dream that she had that she chose to act in a very drastic way for anyone, even a governor's wife, for anyone to interrupt the official proceedings of a Roman emperor would really be beyond uncommon. It would be unthinkable. But yet she did, okay? So she's passionate about that. Notice in verse 19, the first part of the verse, it says, "And when he sat down on the judgment seat." That's a really subtle way of saying, as this was a official, he was in his official capacity as a judge. This is not an informal hearing. He was judging this case. It'd be like you and I walking into the courtroom and disrupting a judge during a proceeding and saying, "Hey, judge, I had a dream." It wouldn't work, right? Well, so essentially, he's acting in his official capacity, and it's no small thing for a messenger to interrupt him on for any reason, but especially the result of a dream. It's not like she's showing up and with information that, "Hey, I have some new evidence regarding this case," or "There's been some new developments. You need to hold a recess and let's go over this." Nothing like that. She said, "I had a dream. Okay, honey, I had a bad dream last night. Don't do anything regarding this." And so the whole incident is really pretty remarkable. And you think, why did that happen? But it was just enough of a distraction, just enough of a pause in those proceedings to allow the Jewish leaders to upset Pilate's plan. And now you'll see what I'm talking about in verse 20. "During this time, the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus." See what's going on here? You can imagine during this short interval here, that this disruption of the proceedings, the dozens of religious leaders moving throughout the crowd and campaigning, essentially, in an effort to have them ask for Barabbas instead of Jesus. Maybe what kind of persuasion they used, we don't really know. Whatever it was effective. Maybe they were going around telling lies about Jesus. I'm sure they were. Maybe it was the fake news, if you will, just spreading false information. Whatever the case is, they scrambled to sway the crowd. And so by the time Pilate had dealt with this interruption of the proceedings caused by his wife, by the time he comes back to the situation, the crowd had been swayed, and the propaganda, whatever it was, had been sown. And notice what verse 21 says, back 20, it says, they persuaded the multitude. In other words, they accomplished what they wanted. They persuaded them to ask for Barabbas rather than Jesus. As we've already rehearsed and talked about, the only common sense thing would have been to ask for Jesus. This innocent type person that's no threat to society, as opposed to this guy who's a murderer and a robber and a mover of sedition that's going to be roaming our neighborhoods and walking amongst our people. You know, that's the only common sense answer. But it was a very twisted mindset the people would have had, but it worked. They said, they were convinced that they wanted Jesus released. Now notice verse 21. So he comes back from his recess and his disruption, whatever you want to call it. Verse 21, the governor answered and said unto them, which of the twain will you that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. They'd made their decision. So it's a very twisted way of doing things, release a murderer and a robber to us and keep the guy that's innocent and put him to death. It's hard to imagine. But that was just half the verdict, because I want you to look at verse 22. Pilate says, okay, you want Barabbas. It doesn't make sense to me, but verse 22 he says, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? He's saying, okay, what are we going to do with Jesus? And just as absurd as releasing Barabbas to them is the idea that they would say, well, just let him be crucified. Let him be crucified, okay? It's just crazy. It take this innocent man who not only doesn't have a record, he has nothing on his credentials, if you will, that says he's a bad guy. Or he's not done anything wrong. He's actually had a lifetime of good that gives testimony. His whole life is testified to his character. And they're saying, take him, hang him on a cross, give him the most brutal method of execution that we have to offer. Give it to him, okay? With or without a conviction. And so this was really a public vote, as it were, to unjustly release a murderer and to crucify an innocent man, okay? And such was the fickle desires of the people, okay? This mob mentality can be a scary thing, because even this pagan ruler such as Pilate, who was very brutal in many ways, even he didn't have the stomach for what they were trying to do. Notice verse 23, and the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. Even Pilate saw the injustice in this. He didn't have enough backbone to keep it from happening, but he saw what was going on here and how wrong it was. And he tries to reason with them a little bit in verse 23, but to no avail. And the next time we come together, we'll pick up in verse 24. Okay, appreciate you guys very much. We'll go ahead and stand and be dismissed in a word of prayer, and we look forward to seeing you back here on Sunday. Okay, men, we'll see you Friday morning. Leave out of here about 9. We'll have a good time. It's going to be good. All right, Randy Roberts, will you